Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 1. That'll be what we're going to use for the text. Faith. Now, faith. Now, the now, not tomorrow, now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Our theme is experience with evidence. Now, your experience, now evidence is this faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But everybody needs an experience with God themselves. An experience with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm traveling over the last year or two. I travel around 50,000 miles a year. I've seen a lot of people. And I've seen people that was good people. They evidently feeling something in the presence of the Lord. And lots of things. But I looked and I've seen people through these years that had a personal experience, not an experience themselves, an experience, your personal. Now, let's just take, for instance, here, if Jonathan here, the water comes out of our belly. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, Jonathan can take some water and take it over here and give Brother Jason a drink. Now, they got satisfied. He done something for God, and he got the drink, but that wasn't the experience. The experience comes from the flow of water, the Holy Ghost. And people don't even know what the Holy Ghost is anymore. They think that rock music is the Holy Ghost. They think all kinds of things, but experience. We have to begin with a supernatural, a big experience with God. I wouldn't be standing here tonight preaching the gospel to you if I hadn't got an experience that exploded on the inside of me and lasted, you know, to a hell. I drove to work weeping and crying for many, many, many weeks afterward, and it still does that. It's an experience. Now, you don't want to go to church and feel a goosebump and something like that. Well, I felt it. That's not got to what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you have an experience with God? And that experience with God, does it bring forth evidence of the fruit of that experience? Ye shall know them by their fruit. And I got this as an experience. Experience with evidence. And faith is that substance of things hoped for. And it's also the rivers. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first thing we must have is everlasting life. All you ministers, how's a minister minister to people when he don't have an experience? Well, he reads the Bible to them. And most of them today tell you a little joke, and then they'll read another scripture and fool around a little bit and dismiss and say, well, we're going to dismiss Sunday night. I'll tell you what, we need to get more of an experience than people's got today. An experience is something that will take you somewhere. Experience is not just something you feel, it's something you do. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the flood came, it didn't fall because it was builded upon the rock. It had an experience. An experience. We must have that powerful experience with God. You know, if you're operating on somebody else's experience, you're doing the wrong thing. You're supposed to have that experience. Well, so if I get sick, I'll call John Doe or somebody else or pastor. You're supposed to have an experience to pray too. Prayer is an experience also. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Jude 1:20 said, ye building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, if I ask people anymore, do you have the Holy Ghost? And they say, well, I think I do. And then you got people that's praying for them as they pray for them till they get in stammering lips. And they say, you got it. How do they know they got it? They're not the one that's getting the experience. It's the one that's praying. Leave that person alone and pray for them till they get that experience. And I'll tell you, they won't be hobnobbing around and they won't be in and out. And they'll be faithful in church. They'll pay their tithes. They'll begin to get a hold of something because they've got an experience. A lot of folks just need a good old-fashioned experience, a good old Holy Ghost experience. Most folks get where they can feel God. No. We don't go by feelings. How many operates on feelings? Ooh, I felt good. I know I'm all right now because I felt good. But some of them don't feel good 30 days after they get out of that service because they don't have the experience. You must have the experience with God. You know, the reason we're here tonight is because we've got an experience, most of us anyway, if not all. An experience with God. And you want to go to someone else and that experience with God. A good experience with God will produce evidence in many things. A good experience with God will produce evidence in many things. Number one, the infilling with the Holy Ghost will bring that evidence in you, in your life. The infilling with the Holy Ghost will bring that evidence in your life. Evidence. The Holy Ghost. Substance. The Holy Ghost. The infilling. Faith is a substance. St. John 38. For instance, let's take a little thing here about experience. A little simple thing in the Bible. How about David, when he went before Saul and said, I'll take this giant on there, this Goliath on out here. And Saul said, you can't do it. You're just a lad. Well, you're just a lad. But he told him, here's what he really said to Saul. I've got experience. Well, what experience do you? You know, people to go out and get a job, the first thing the employer says, what's your experience? I believe every time you go to church, God will look at you and me and say, what is your experience? Huh? Are you just here? Because if somebody might miss you and it might not be good for them, this or that or something else, that's not what it's all about. It's about your experience. And Saul was talking to David, and David said, thy servant slayed a lion, and thy servant slayed a bear, huh? And I'm ready for this uncircumcised Philistine. Well, I've got experience. Can't you just see Saul? You know, he was speaking with authority and the anointing of the Spirit, David was. Because he was an anointed king. But here we find he said, experience. Yeah, I slayed the lion. Yeah, I slayed the bear. I'm ready for this uncircumcised Philistine. Well, Saul kind of got convinced on it, and he said, here, he began to get his armor together to put on David. And what David was really saying, I'm not experienced with that. I don't have experience with that stuff you've got on there. But I do have experience. Finally, Saul said, go and the Lord be with you. And I can see David as he went down by the brook. And when he got down by the brook, he reached down in the brook there and got a 5 smooth stones, which represents the Holy Ghost ministry. Pastor, apostle, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And he put one of these smooth stones in the sling. You know, he was experienced with the sling. You know, a lot of folks are trying to do big things when little things is what they need to start with. You don't start big, you start little, and you get bigger, you know, because your experience grows. Experience grows. Your experience is what grows within you. I slayed the lion, slayed the bear. I'm experienced. Not with the shield, not with the sword, but I'm experienced with a sling with a little smooth stone. I'm accurate with it. I'm experienced with it. Pick this up and put one of them in the sling that draws nigh to Goliath. Goliath says, I'll tear you apart. Come on in. Come on. I'll tear you apart. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he took that experience and went, phew. He cut his head off and took it back to Saul and said, here's evidence. Experience with evidence. I'll tell you, we're going to have to get down to business with our experience and produce some evidence. Instead of running around and say, I hope I get this and I hope I get that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'll tell you what you need to do. Make up your mind you're going to do what God tells you to do. And when you do what God tells you to do, He'll put an experience on the inside of you that will produce many things on the inside of you. It'll produce rivers. It'll produce joy. It'll produce peace. See, what I'm telling you, you got to start off with a powerful experience, because you're going to have all kinds of things come against you. And I'm talking to a lot of ministers here tonight. Most of you are ministers, I think, in one way or the other. And maybe God intended for it to be that way. And if there's anyone that needs to have the experience, it's the minister. A lot of times us ministers are trying to get the people to do something that we can't even do. Don't have no experience. We shudder when the giant goes by. We flee when the lion roars. And we run when the bear comes by. But David said, I got an experience. I got an experience for you, Mr. Bear. I've got an experience for you, Mr. Lion. And I've got an experience for you, Goliath, because you're going down today and I'm going to produce the evidence before Saul. Peter, remember, he had a hard time getting an experience because he was up trying to do something that he ain't supposed to be doing. Jesus said, I've prayed for you that you'll keep the faith. And when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. Oh, but I'm already converted, he thought. But he wasn't. Jesus said, I'm prayed for you. Well, guess what? On the day of Pentecost and before that, he got an experience. All it took a rooster to crow. We'll call that the rooster experience. Jesus said, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times because you haven't got the experience yet. That's what he's saying. You'll deny me three times. There's people are sitting right here under my voice that you don't go on deep enough to have an experience to destroy that's fighting you. He's fighting you. But you need to go further. Well, when the rooster crowed, Peter fell on his face and repented bitterly. Now he's got a great experience with God. But he's going to get a better one, and he's going to produce some evidence. When the day of Pentecost come, everybody come around there at Pentecost, and they was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And God was moving. People were really having a time in the Lord. And some said they're drunk. Some said they're out of order. Some said they don't know what they're doing, but they're drunk. We think they're drunk. They're staggering around. They're speaking in tongues. You know, people's ashamed to speak in tongues anymore. We ought to speak in tongues 30 minutes every day. It's good for you. It edifies you. It produces an experience in you. I do it all the time around the house. I'll just wind up and get down and take my experience before the Lord, and He gives me a better experience, and I can shout and speak in tongues. Somebody said, I don't have no audience. I don't need no audience. Jesus is my audience, and I'm His audience. Peter and John. Remember, there was a little division among them on account of Peter was a little bit jealous of John. But in the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we find something. Two men produces great experiences. Where two, one will drive 1,000 away, and two will drive 10,000. Get you a partner. Pray partner. They don't have to be at their house. At a certain time of day when you know they're praying and you're praying and you've got an experience that's working for you against the devil. So as they went over there, this man was sitting there with a cup at the gate, expecting to receive something from them. You know what Peter told that man? First thing he said, now I want you to notice, he got that jealousy out of the way. Jealousy will kill every experience. Jealousy will ruin your marriage. Jealousy will kill the church. Jealousy will kill you. Jealousy has killed our nation. Jealousy is the only thing I can find in the Bible that's more crueler than the grave. It's crueler than the grave, jealousy. Why be jealous of somebody? You can be just as good as they are or better. Somebody said, somebody begins to get a good experience with God and other people begin to kind of run them down because they got experience. It's cause of jealousy. But God can take us through that. Destroy that jealousy. But you notice what Peter said. Look on all the jealousy was gone. All the friction had gone out of Peter's heart. He said, look on us. And then he told them the true story. You know, a lot of folks today is depending on money to be the big thing in the church. They've got money, but they may not have an experience. Huh? You may have a lot of things in your life, but you may not have an experience with God. But when you get an experience with God, you're different. I hope there's nobody thinks that I've not got an experience with God. I try to keep my record very clean that way. Facts of the matter is, I got the most wonderful letter from some people I hadn't seen in years that had got a hold of one of the tapes I preached, and they said they really enjoyed how the Spirit had remained in my life through the year. You know, I could have lost it. You can throw it away, but you got to keep it because it's your experience. Peter says, look on us. Silver and gold have I none. I ain't got no money for you, but I've got an experience that's going to explode things around here today. Can you say, I've got something going on inside of me that when I take you by the hand and I lift you up, something's going to happen. So he took this man by the hand and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. This man come up and begin to leap and jump around. 5,000 people gave their hearts to God. They had church all day, no doubt. Somebody said, we like to have a big church. Well, get it a good experience. I hear them different preachers say, I wish I had my ministry was like that fellow's. Why not? He won't care if you have part of his ministry if he's right with God. Somebody told me, said, I'd like to have your ministry. I said, you can have it. Sure you can. Sure, you can have it. I wouldn't be a bit jealous if you got better. In fact, the matter is, that's what it's all about. We're supposed to be producing better things than worse things. And our nation has got to where it's got worse than better. And we better get some better in the church and some better in our lives, some better in our homes, and some better everywhere we're at, and have this thing that we call an experience in our life. Evident. You know what they produced their experience that day? It produced an evidence. Everybody around in there was saying, my, they prayed for that guy and he's jumping around. They prayed for him. He went to church with them. Yeah, yeah. They prayed for him. How many believes that that is a evidence? You couldn't doubt it. The first thing I done when I got saved, I had a cousin that had epileptics all his life. And he still lived. At that time, he was about 26 or to 28 years old. And he'd just be going down the street and fall over, foaming at the mouth, wallowing in the dirt. Nobody could do anything about it. That was my first cousin. Well, we're at West Plains right now in a nursing home. That was way back when I first got saved. I took him to church. And I believed, something got inside of me. I believed that he was going to be healed. You know what? You must believe. If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Somebody said, I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Every one of you here tonight, you can be a believer. Took him to church. He didn't look too good. He'd had epilepsy that day. Fell in the street. You know what happened that night? I don't know who it was, but somebody in that crowd had an experience with God. We was all laying hands upon him, and pretty soon he come up and stood up and he smiled. Something I never seen him do. He always looked bad. You know, from that day to this, that's been 58 years ago, from that day to this, he's never had another epileptic. That was such an evidence that the family got saved, the cousins got saved, all of his aunts and uncles, they come to church and they begin to get saved. I've preached many of their funerals since that, but they got saved, and some of them got filled with the Holy Ghost. Others got healed. Huh? Remember, that experience will produce many evident things in your life. You'll not be like you used to be. You're not. The experience. Peter gave them experience that day, him and John. 1 Samuel 16. Verse 1. Samuel, if you know the story of Samuel, his mother, she had no children. She said, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you. She had a son. His name was Samuel. And she done what she said. She gave him to God. And he wound up in Eli's house. Eli was a priest. He had allowed his son to do evil things, and God was not proud of that. He'd lost his evidence and lost everything else, his experience with God, and he couldn't hear from God anymore. How many knows there's a lot of people in church can't hear from God anymore? How'd you hear that? Well, I got an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Have you got an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say? It's not audible many times, but you can hear it with the natural ear, but you got to have this ear that you can hear it with. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Samuel, one night, he heard a voice, and he went into Eli, and he said, "Did you call, sir?" "Oh, no, I didn't call you." "Go back to bed, boy." Pretty soon another, here he comes again. "Did you call, sir?" "No, I didn't call." And then Eli caught on. He's hearing from God. This boy's hearing from God. I can't hear from God, but he does. Eli had lost his experience of hearing. Some of you have operated in times past in the Holy Ghost and gifts of the Spirit, but you haven't done that in a long time. You'll lose your experience. You'll be deader than a doorknob, and that's pretty dead. "Did you call, sir?" "No, I didn't call." So Samuel grew up in the house of Eli, under the supervision of this old man that had lost most of his experience, if not all of it. Samuel became a judge. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. I really like to read about Samuel, because when he done something, it was such great power. So it come a time when he had anointed Saul to be the king. He anointed him. Saul failed. He lost his experience. Remember, when they went home to Gibeah, they were with them some men that the Spirit was on, and they were speaking things of God. There come a time that Saul had disobeyed God. He's rejected from being king. And here's the point I want to get, and I want to tell you this right now. Most people, real good ministers, they come to the place where they don't weep. They don't mourn. You know why? Because they're aggravated maybe with their congregation. Maybe they're aggravated with each other. They've got family problems. They've got this and they've got that. And they've lost that experience of weeping. Yet the Bible said, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Samuel was hurt. He had spent all these years in the house of Eli, and then on down to be worked up to be a judge, and then one that anointed kings and all, and this kind of thing. And so here is Samuel. He's laying over. He's mourning. He's weeping. God speaks to him. Remember, he can hear. He's grieved, but he hasn't lost his experience. But he's grieved. He's deeply grieved. Probably weeping, tears streaming down his face. And God speaks. The great experience giver. Oh, glory. God, the experience giver. God says, "Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from being a king." He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to restore your experience. I want you to take that horn, and I want you to take that horn and fill it with oil. And I want you to take that horn that's got oil, and I want you to go to the house of Jesse, because I have prepared me a king there. I've got the experience that he's going to be my king." So Samuel fills the horn with oil. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to anoint a true king in the house of Jesse. He's going to bring an experience into the house of Jesse that's never been there before. There's going to be a king anointing. A king. Not just an ordinary subject, but a king. You're going to anoint a king. Can't you just see how Samuel, you know, there he was there, boo-hooing around, you know, like we do sometimes. I do a lot of weeping at the house when I preach, because I feel this in my spirit. I feel it in my soul, and some of you don't feel a thing right here tonight. You need to get the restoration of your evidence. So Samuel fills the horn with oil. I could see him with his robe on. He's a judge. He's an anointer. He's went to the top. I mean, it's clear to the top. Listen, when God puts something, and he puts something on the inside of us, like he did in this woman that was Samuel's mother, when he puts something on the inside of you, you're going to really have something that's going to be a great experience with God. Can you see Samuel pick the horn? Oh, yeah. "I'm going to anoint a king. God said I'm going to anoint a king. God's chose a king. I'm going to be the one to anoint him." Listen to me. Samuel, when he was down there laying down moaning and groaning and crying around like we do a lot of times, or have in the past till you got experience. Here's Samuel. Just imagine laying across this altar here, moaning and groaning at this altar. See, here's the thing. Don't miss the greatest thing that ever could happen to you, because it's time now, he said, to anoint a king. But can't you see him there weeping, crying? And God's saying, how long will you mourn for Saul? Fill that horn with oil and go to Jesse's house. There's a renewing coming. There's something precious coming. Samuel was weeping. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Maybe some of you here tonight haven't shed a tear, no telling when. And that, you know, when we get to this experience, it gets us out of that thing. We shed some tears. We rejoice at church. The ones that we called our enemies, we begin to join up with them. We begin to rejoice with them. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Here comes Samuel. When Samuel came to town, there was a great notable thing. People took note when he came to town because he had an experience, remember? He had the anointing oil. He was the one that was qualified to use it. Huh? Can't you just see the modern day church today? I'm not going to go do that. I'm going to go down and have some fellowship with my friends over there at the cafe. Huh? But Samuel brought in the horn of the oil. And he thought he'd go with tradition because he told Jesse, he said, I came here to anoint a king. Have one of your sons. And Jesse no doubt said, I've got just the one. It's the oldest one. He's the tallest and he's the best looking. But remember, Samuel had anointed the tall one and good looking one when he anointed Saul. Said he was taller than anybody else and better looking than anybody else. So you don't always go by size or looks. Them smiles can deceive you very much. Look can deceive you very much. God looks where? In the heart. He looks in the heart. And if God looks in the heart, that's where the experience is. We have to have this in my heart. If our heart has got that experience on the inside of it, it's going to work to the outside. Can you say amen? Huh? Yeah. Jesse brought forth the next son. And that ain't him either, Samuel said. Remember, Samuel's the one that mourned. Samuel's the one that had the message. Samuel's the one that could anoint. See, sometimes we try to kill the one that has the anointing. Just because they're doing good. You know, we're living in a nation right here today. If you say something good, they'll try to destroy you. You talk about the denominations. There's several denominations, no doubt, here tonight presented. Maybe different branches of Pentecost and something else. But get ready for it. If things don't turn around, there's only going to be two, and that's Christian and Muslim. Take your choice. We're living in a time we better get something going for ourselves. And we better get something going for our church, and we better get something going for our children, and we better get something going for our friends and our loved ones. We better get something going for our nation. No, I'm not a Muslim, and I sure don't want to be. I wouldn't kill somebody because they didn't come in Bible way. If they didn't want to come, why let them go where they want to go? See, we're a free nation. But I want you to get this thing about this experience. The greatest experience you can get today is the whole be full of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand up there, Jason. Now, if you stand right there and Brother Williams, stand up, Brother Williams. Just as a symbol, take that book there and hold it over his head. Now, this is a pitcher of water he's got there. He's going to pour that water on him. I'm going to show you where you've been fooled, some of you. What's he doing now? He's pouring water on him. But he say you be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, did he get filled with the Holy Ghost when he poured that water on him? No, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Huh? Some of you look at me like you think I'm crazy as a loon. And I am, I guess. I lost it all, but I got back together. Come on now. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it comes down and in and out. And it flows out of their belly. Just like St. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his what? Now, he didn't flow out of his head. He poured it on his head. It didn't pour out of his head. It's going to pour out his belly. Out of his belly shall flow the river, the rivers of life, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost flows. It's the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. And it's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Experience. Boy, when you get the Holy Ghost, when you get it right, you've got an experience in some spirit. And the devil's going to have to fight a bad fight to take it away from you, because you don't have to give it up unless you want to. Somebody said, what kind of experience have you got? I'm just about experienced in everything. I'm experienced in hatred. I've had people hate me. I've got the experience with the gossipers. I've got people that gossip about me. I've got people that don't like me because they don't know why they don't like me, but they just don't like me. Huh? They don't know why either. They just don't like me. You have too. You got people that don't like you. You go to getting to where you think that you're going to satisfy everybody that don't like you, you're going to have make a mess. And if you've got a church and you're pastoring a church and you try to get everybody to like you, you're going to have a real mess. Because you're going to be dancing to this one's tune and that one's tune and that one's tune. And nobody has an experience. We're just trying to make them happy. Well, let me tell you something. They'll never be happy till they get the experience. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Huh? Experience that produces what? Evidence. You know, it's been a long time since I've seen a church that really was full of the evidence. I can walk in as soon as I hit pulpit, I can tell who's sour. Huh? Can you? How many of you preachers can tell when one's sour dove? He got to get delivered before he can have any evidence. God didn't say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to anoint you with sourness. I'm going to anoint you with joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on. And the one person told me a few years back, said, whose side are you on? I said, I didn't know we had any side. Oh, yeah, we got two sides. This one's for that one, and that one's for that. And, well, I said, I'm for Jesus because I want the right thing. I want some experience that's right. I'm not on your side. Somebody said to me here tonight, are you on my side? No, if you've got a side, I ain't on your side at all. Don't even want to be on your side. Who's on the Lord's side among you? The song says. Who's on the Lord's side among you? Won't we let God have his way? Why don't our nation quit doing what they're doing? Forget who's black and who's yellow and who's white and who's red. You know, a black man or a yellow man or a red man or a white man all have the opportunity to have the same experience, don't they? But when they lose that evidence, they become killers, stealers, destroyers. John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That tells how he is. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Think about it. Well, I've got a few things that it will change in your life. I jotted them down so I wouldn't forget them. Our experience with God will show where we are in God. You want to be where you can tell whether the person that you're talking to is right with God or not? Experience and evidence shows who they are. Don't take but 5 minutes. So our experience with God will show where we are in God. It will designate our evidence of faith and godly life. See, you're either godly or ungodly. You ain't in between. Now, you ain't just a little bit righteous and a little bit this. You're either godly or ungodly. I can't find any other category. Can you find that, Brother Williams? Any of you other pastors can find where it says you can be godly and ungodly at the same time or be half and half. We're not talking about milk. We're talking about an experience. Number three, you'll become honest. Honesty in all things. Somebody said, I didn't like to hear this. Well, I didn't like to preach it either. I argued with God about a week. That's what I'm supposed to preach tonight. You know why? Because of you. You. Are you honest? Do you hold back part of your tithes? Do you pay your bills? Jason here, stand up there. First time he come down here, he come to get in a seminar, and he told that. Tell him what you done.
Listen to it. I just talked for 2 times. Here he was, he just got out of prison. Come down here.
I was, I owed a lot of money because of sin. But I'd always kind of tried to pay my bills, but I got behind because of sin. Well, I just had this big dose of faith and the Holy Ghost and was ready to run around the world and got down here. And he said, you know, he said, you can't be spiritual with the bill collector knocking on the door. You said that. I knew I had to get it straightened out, but it hadn't really face me like that when he said, if you're going to be preaching, you got to get your personal life in order. You got to get all your business handled. And all stuff, see, we get called to preach, we forget that sort of thing. Because we are called, and God does give us faith. But you got to get your life straightened out too, if you're going to, that's evidence.
That's evidence.
That's evidence.
Right here. Your evidence.
Evidence.
Your evidence. I said you got to have a preach a whole lot of what I'm preaching right now. And you got the evidence.
I got it straightened out.
Yeah, he didn't have no money.
Driver's license.
No driver's license.
Car.
No car. Didn't have no place to live. Didn't have no money.
I started real small.
Real small.
Real small.
Boy, you're going to make a whopper, too. You're going to have a big experience with God. Now, listen, let me tell you something. He is evident. He took what I preached. Instead of being broke,
If I'm right, only when we need this money for the air conditioning, I believe you donated $2,000. And they said, then his church gave some. He's got a church now. And this is all happening about 5 years.
We got all that money back.
Got it all back in 45 days. That's it. Let's give the Lord a big hand for evidence. This is evident. Somebody said this is the craziest meeting I ever been in. I want to hurry up and get out of here where I can go and have fellowship with my friends. Well, you can fellowship with them anytime, but you can't get this anywhere you go and everywhere you go. Not because I'm preaching it. The facts matter, it's not me preaching it. It's the Lord's message. I'm just a carrier of it. Let's go a little bit further and we're going to quit. We'll change our habits and make them honest. We'll be honest with each other. Will you be honest? He's doing great. Man, he's got experience and he's got evidence. And that's evident. Somebody said, how are you doing? I believe God had these certain people here tonight. I believe you're here on purpose tonight. Because God wants to help you out. Nobody's going to dabble in your affairs. I'm not one to dabble in other people's affairs. But I'll tell you what, when we got a chance to give somebody something that'll help them out, we better hand it out. God's truth that's in us will shine. And what does the Bible tell us? Let your what? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ain't that scriptural? So you're supposed to have a light shining. And this will make your light shine. It's evidence. You can't see nothing in the dark. Let your light so shine. I'll tell you, it's the next thing that we want to talk about. Change our conversation. What do you talk about all day? What do you talk about the person that's next to you on the job? Do you tell them about Jesus? Do you try to give them an experience? Or do you tell them how bad everything is and you don't know what you're going to do and blah, 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 blah. That's not what it's all about. I didn't intend to preach this way. And the reason I'm preaching it this way is for some of you that I'm looking at, and I can tell where you're at. Huh? I know right where you're at. Been there myself. See, the best experience that we can have is something we go through ourselves. Brother Jason there, he's got a good experience because he's been through that. He knows what it is to take drugs. He knows what it is to do things wrong like that. But thank be to God, he's got something on the inside of him. It's a new experience with God, and it's really paying off. Do you feel better than you used to? Feel good, don't you? You can sing that song, I feel good, I feel good. You can go home tonight and say, I feel good. Even the way we dress will change to godly apparel and the evidence. If we're going to change, might be good to change the way you dress. Huh? Somebody said, now you're getting off on that dress. Yeah, hardly ever mentioned. But they say it don't make no difference how you look on the platform, don't make no difference this or that. I think it does. I think we need to honor God's word and honor God as if he is here. You can tell somebody that's really got everything. Now, that don't mean just dress to suit me or suit your pastor or suit somebody else. Dress to suit God. That's a bad one, but I had to get that. Somebody said, oh me. You didn't say it out loud. Revivals will spring forth. And the kingdom of God will be evident in us. You know, I preached a whole bunch of messages here a while back on us. That means two people or more. Us. If it's not, it's in me. But God wants to touch me, and he wants to touch us, and he wants to touch you. While every head's bowed, I want our musicians to come. And there's some people that needs to come to this altar and pray and seek God. You know, there's a thing, too, that the congregation has the duty to help the pastor preach. And the way they do that, they listen and obey. Hear and obey. You know, I can always tell when people's hearing me, and it helps the anointing. And the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. There's 1,000 other things that a person could bring up here tonight. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So we have experience with what? Evidence. How many sees it in the Bible? It's all over the evidence. The apostles had the evidence. Paul had the evidence. He went to the street called straight. Man, he was a bad man. Just killed a bunch of people up there. Stoned Stephen to death. Good thing about it, Stephen didn't feel them blows hitting his head. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Evidence. Well, I'd like to see everyone that will come around the altars. Pray. If you don't want to have anything else to pray, let's pray about this campground. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Let us pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.